Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 217 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is sporadic, and part of it is because I seem to have a hate relationship with technology. I honestly don't know what's going on. I used to be pretty good. My microphone went out. I bought a new microphone, and for some reason, it doesn't want to work. It says it's working, green light's on, but I'm not recording anything. So now I'm on my little pocket traveling microphone that I use when I'm on the road. So forgive me if the sound kind of sucks. I don't know. This is also why you don't see YouTube videos from me, because a friend of mine came over, showed me how to edit videos. I tried to do it. I got nothing. I can't find a video. So anyway, I will keep trying sporadically, and maybe I'll get it figured out and you'll actually see something new from me. I do have a new CD that's going to release probably in the next month or so. I say CD, but it'll be a digital download. You know, it's a show. So there'll be some new stuff. Anyway, speaking of new stuff, this week's podcast everything in the news is new. Like, nothing's ever happened before. So this is going to be earth-shattering. No, it's not. It is remarkable at this point to me. I don't even know why I watch the news or read the news because nothing changes. I mean, it is exactly the same old thing. All right? Where do you want to start? Let's start with America first, because we know that's big, and we know America's first, and we know America's the best and the brightest and the blah, blah, blah. So here's something America wins in, and we got this. It was a nail biter, but we somehow won. In school shootings, now in the United States has had 288 school shootings since 2009. And so we're looking at comparing us to the G7 countries, countries with the largest and most advanced economies in the world. Now, it's close. We've had 288. Canada is a close second with two. Yeah. France has had two. Germany has two. Japan, Italy, and the UK, 000. Donuts. They're on donuts. 288. We're first. America, some bitch. We are first in everything we do. And just to, you know, again, nothing there. I hate to laugh, but it is borderline comical how nothing is new. We know we have school shootings. This year, we are actually averaging one school shooting a week. But the good thing is, it's not the guns. Again, this is a new argument. You haven't heard this argument before. So I will educate you on what we learned from the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas after the Santa Fe school shooting. First of all, he said it's good there's going to be a roundtable discussion and everything should be on the table because it's not about the guns. It's video games. We never heard that before. Yeah, he said that 85% of the video games are violent, so we got that problem. And then we've removed religion from schools. So we got that going on. Here's a new one. Abortions. Yeah, 50 million abortions. So we have incredible heinous violence and families that are broken apart by abortion. Even though if you had an abortion, there wouldn't be a family, right? Anyway, who am I to introduce logic to this? And finally, well, no, not finally, but here's another new one. There's too many entrances to the schools. See, that's why there are school shootings, because there are too many entrances. And Mr. Patrick says we need to get one or two entrances. And finally, he says the problem is unarmed teachers. See, if teachers took time out from kindergarten to do some blasting, we'd have fewer problems. Because, you know, Canada's catching up. We got 288 and they got two, and we try and keep America first, some bitch. Now, in their, I hate to use the word defense, but I'll say in their defense or even understanding, maybe that's a better word, understanding. In Oklahoma, some guy went into a bar and he started shooting, and he found out there was somebody in the parking lot that had a gun. So, let's see. I'm looking for details. It's hard to find details because this just happened. But basically, there was a man who went into an Oklahoma City bar restaurant, and he shot two people, and he walked out into the parking lot, and somebody in the parking lot who had a gun shot him. So, yep, they got him about 50 feet from the front door. So good for them. Good for them. It did work. Now, does that mean we should arm teachers? No. But a good guy with a gun shot a bad guy with a gun. So it does happen. It just doesn't seem to happen in the schools where the bad guys seem to always win. Anyway, enough of that. That's one story that's new, completely different. Yeah, okay. Now let's move on. And yeah, I'm going to get to the Trump stuff in a minute, but how about the police? So again, this is all new. This is stuff that never happened before. An NBA player by the name of Sterling Brown. See, Sterling was in a Walgreens parking lot at 2 a.m. and the police came, and apparently his car was across the white lines. Nobody else was in the parking lot. The parking lot was kind of open, but he was across the white lines, and the cops saw him. A black man walked out of the store, and he just said, called for backup, and they attacked him, and then they tased him, and then they lied about him being aggressive, and now the video comes out, and the cops are lying. So, again, all new story. You've never heard this before. He's going to sue the shit out of him, which is good. See, that's the thing about screwing with an NBA player. He can afford to hire lawyers. Hey, Milwaukee, this has happened repeatedly. In the future, and maybe this should just be some kind of police training, Milwaukee, if you see a large black man walking to a very nice luxury car, perhaps you should see if he's a ball player first. Just saying, you jammed up an NBA player in a jewelry store. Now you got one outside of Walgreens. When you see brothers walking around 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", and they look like they got a lot of money, probably not selling drugs. Just throwing it out there, Milwaukee. Just throwing it out there. Probably not selling drugs. Perhaps he's a ball player. You know, they don't all play for the Packers. You have an NBA team. How long before the Greek Freak gets arrested? So that's a new story. We've never seen that before. In Houston, cops pulled over a car and just told the woman in the passenger seat, get out with your hands up, act like we're going to shoot you. Just act like we're going to shoot you. That's a new threat from the police. So see, it's not the same old news. It's new because that's a new threat. They haven't tried that one before when they say, just act like we're going to shoot you. That's it's incredible. I was telling someone about my podcast and how I don't add jokes. There's no need to. What do you say? How do you top that when the police says that you act like we're going to shoot you? It's like, yeah, we always act like you're going to shoot because that's what you do. Now, police in Orlando, Florida. I like this because these are the stories that, like, you honestly can't write this or make this better. So police in Orlando are using a new facial recognition technology that they bought from Amazon. So the police chief, now the ACLU says this is bad because the police will just be scanning random faces of people walking around and, you know. So the police chief of Orlando says, We would never use this technology to track random citizens, immigrants, activists, or people of color. Do you know what that means? That means that it is absolutely going to be used to track random citizens, immigrants, activists, or people of color. You know why? Because why would he specify? That's a very specific group of people or groups of people to say that you're not going to track. Like, are you going to track people? No. no, we're not going to track activists or immigrants or people of color. We would never track activists, immigrants, or people of color. Not we're not going to track people. We're not going to track citizens. We're not going to track innocent people. No, we're not going to track activists or immigrants or people of color. What would ever give you that idea? So there's that. So now they can stop and frisk without actually stopping and frisking, unless you play in the NBA, in which case you will be stopped and frisked. Well, they tase you first because you're kind of big. And then do you frisk before you tase or tase before you frisk? I'm not even sure. But I think that you tase before frisking. And So we've got that. Now, another thing, and again, it's good because, you know, police are fair and they never target activists or immigrants or people of color unless you happen to speak Spanish at a gas station store in Montana. Yeah, they're actually a border patrol agent. And if you're border patrol in Montana, shouldn't you be looking for those Canadians? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Those Canadians are sneaky. They're sneaky and they're coming down here and nobody's watching for them. So a border patrol agent in Montana was in a gas station and he heard two women speaking Spanish. And he stopped them and he questioned them and he detained them because they were speaking Spanish. That was their crime. And he said, well, not many people speak Spanish up here. Well, I'm guessing not many people read books up there. And you haven't stopped anyone for that book learning, now have you? Oh, my God. The beautiful thing is, sorry about the chair squeaking. I'm going to get a new chair. I hope that's not technology, because if I get a new chair and it's in any way technological, it'll just break as soon as I sit in it. Anyway, enough of my problems. I'm not speaking Spanish in Montana. Yeah. So that's what was suspect. They were speaking Spanish. And he said, not many people speak Spanish around here. And I say, not many people read books around there either. Ought to stop that book learning, you son of a bitch. The nice thing is he said he wasn't profiling. So I guess he has never read the definition of profiling. You see, officer, profiling would be you see someone who fits a profile, like does something, or, you know, like say speaks Spanish and they've done nothing else wrong and you question them for doing. See, that would be profiling. That would be the definition of profiling. And I'm sorry to laugh, but it's a level of stupid that you can't fake that. You understand? You can't. It's a level of prejudice. You cannot fake that. And this is a trend now. This attacking people for speaking Spanish. There's the lawyer in New York, and we saw the video on that. There was another video I saw, and I'm guessing this was in the Vegas airport because there were slot machines in the background. And just look this one up on Facebook, because this guy just goes off. It's a guy in a wheelchair, and he's just cursing and yelling at this man because the man spoke Spanish to his mother, and, you know, that's illegal, I guess, in America. Supposed to speak American. And that was funny. The guy kept yelling at him, you should speak American. And we don't want to tell them that American isn't a language. English is a language, but American isn't a language. American's a religion. Don't you know that by now, some bitch? It's a religion. And not just a religion. It's God's favorite. It's God's favorite religion is American. So anyway, this guy's in a wheelchair and he's just going off cursing and yelling. And the man who took the video, I think he's Mexican. I think he said in the video he's Mexican, but he was speaking Spanish. He was laughing at the guy and basically saying he felt sorry for him, which in a way is beautiful, but I don't even know. Like, do you know, it was great, but, and I don't say he should engage this guy, keep yelling at this, or start yelling at this guy and cursing at him, because he's doing it, but it's a tough one. Somebody's cursing with your mom right there. So this is a new thing, though. This is a new thing where white people will see you speaking a different language or wearing something, a hijab or Muslim, any kind of Muslim wear, or anything they don't recognize, and just start yelling at you. Like, that's amazing to me. Of course, it'll never happen to me. I'm 6'3", over 250. Damn, I got to bring that weight down. But no, they tend to yell at women or small people. That's part of keeping America great, making America great again, is choose your battles, and you want to choose your battles against the weakest people you could find. But anyway, it's a thing. It's a new thing. And yeah, so there's that. Again, this is all things that we've never seen before, right? It's all news that I'm covering because this is different. Now let's move on to Baby Hands. Baby Hands has canceled the summit with North Korea. He's not going to speak to Kim Jong-un. And I don't know where you heard this before. Oh, from everyone. From everyone on the left who saw it was bullshit from the start. Myself included. I called bullshit on this. You know Trump was never going to meet with the leaders or any leader from or anyone from North Korea. It was bullshit from the start. This whole, he should win the Nobel Prize. Now you remember when Barack Obama said he was going to meet with the leader in North Korea, and Fox News lost their minds and said it was treason, high treason, as opposed to that normal level of low treason that Obama was. This was high treason. And that, but Trump was going to do it, and now we give him the Nobel Prize before he, but he see he's not going to do it. And they said it because of his threats and insults. Yeah, that's what would set Trump off, someone firing out threats and insults. So there's that. Again, part of making America great again. Now, you remember the Harley Davidson story. They showed pictures of Harley Davidsons outside the White House, and Trump talked about how great Harley Davidson was going to be, and it's an American company, an American manufacturer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sort of like Carrier in Indiana, this same thing happened. So there's going to be a tax cut, and that's going to put American manufacturers are going to create jobs. So what happened? Harley Davidson is closing their plant in Kansas City, Missouri, laying off 800 people. They're going to be replaced by a few hundred people at their York, Pennsylvania plant who will be, you know, temporary workers, et cetera, workers that don't get benefits, part-timers, contract workers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what they will do, they will do a $696 million stock buyback. Okay, so the company had a dividend increase, and they're doing a big stock buyback. They're going to buy back shares of their own company using the money from the tax cut that you voted the administration in to do to save your job. So there's 800 people in Kansas City, Missouri, and I ain't mad at them. They're just people, honestly. They're just working people. But what were you thinking? You fell for it. You now, the last I checked, Harleys don't run on coal. So you see that this whole make America great again, well, not for you. You will be unemployed. And now you'll be one of those entitlement-seeking people who wants, like, unemployment and health care. And speaking of health care, another thing, and this one sort of works against them, but I guess they still get their benefit. The only thing is that it happened to a white guy. See, here's the thing. These in rural areas in the United States, out in the country, they've been closing hospitals. And southern states have been closing hospitals. I talked about this last year. Georgia closed a couple of hospitals. And hospital for those people, it was over 100 miles away. And there's a story about this particular guy, Barry Gibbs, who sadly lost his wife because the hospital was so far away because the local hospital closed. And this is happening because these states turned down any government money from Medicare and Obamacare and so on. And the hospitals are in it for the profit. Hospitals are a business, Okay, hospitals are not a charity. Hospitals are a business, and the business is closed. And they're closing all over this little town in North Carolina, another Barnwell County in South Carolina, Humphreys County in Mississippi, Jacksonville, Alabama, and on and on. Now, here's where they're kind of torn, because many of these, if not all of these rural counties, are majority Black. Okay, since 2010, 53 rural hospitals have closed in 11 southern states. That's compared to 30 hospitals in the other 39 states. And about half of the southern closures occur in counties where non-whites make up a larger percentage of the population. So here's the thing. They don't mind closing these hospitals because they're in majority, minority rural areas, probably predominantly Black and Latino rural areas. Problem is, they're majority, but they're still white people. So you still have white people in these areas. Like, they can't get to the hospital either. So, it's a tough one for a Trump racist. It's like, yeah, I want to close the hospitals because, you know, they're just Black people and Mexicans out there. But then there's still poor white people out there who voted for Trump. And, fuck them. fuck them. So that's happening. And it's a shame. You know, any of these stories, it's a shame for the individuals that it happens to. It's a crime. It's a crisis. It is whatever you want to call it. It is a terrible thing to happen, to lose a family member because the hospital's too far away, because it's hours drive to get to the hospital and they die on the way. It's unbelievable. I can't even imagine, you know, but these are the policies you voted for. This you embrace Trump's racism, you embrace Trump's ignorance, and you voted for this, and now you're getting it. So individually, I could feel sorry for you, but as a group, you got what you asked for. This is exactly what you wanted, and it's what you got. This is the Trump administration. So maybe it didn't work out for you, but if you were rich and a stockholder, this would be working out perfectly. Continuing on these policies, Ben Carson, and I only mention Ben Carson because he's a fucking idiot, but also a horrible person. And that's the part that fits into this administration. So Ben Carson, the head of housing and urban development, who knows nothing about housing or urban development, says you got to raise rents on these poor people. See, you're assisting poor people. And I love that argument. You're assisting poor people, and that's what keeps them poor, which is not true, but that's the argument. So Carson wants to raise rents on families living in poverty from 30% of their adjusted income to 35% of their gross income. Now, that's a big difference, because your gross income is before any taxes or expenses, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a big jump. And for households living paycheck to paycheck, it would be an average rent increase of $117 a month. That's a lot of money. If you're making minimum wage, say you're making $10 an hour, so your gross income is $1,600 a month. That's to pay for everything. And your rent's going to go up $117. That's a lot of money. Now once again, and this is just like the story with the police in Orlando. Whatever they say it's not going to do is exactly what it's going to do. So Carson claims that seniors and people with disabilities are protected from rent hikes, yet his proposal would eliminate income deductions from seniors and people with disabilities. It's amazing. It's like they literally, whatever they say, that's the lie. So the moment they say, well, it won't affect seniors or people with disabilities, except that we're going to take away all medical deductions from seniors and people with disabilities. So guess who it's going to affect? I'm going to go with seniors and people with disabilities for 100, Alex. Well, for 117, because that's specifically how much it's raised. Ben Carson, you are a horrible human being. You are a horrible human being. Yeah, that's it. You're just garbage. You're garbage. The NFL, you probably heard this by now, is now making it a rule that if you're on the field, you have to stand for the national anthem. Damn it. If you're not patriotic because of the country being good, we'll just force you to be patriotic. Okay, so teams and players will be fined if they don't, quote, show respect. It's not about showing respect. We're not going to go into the whole thing about what this protest is about. Now, here's where I'm personally conflicted, okay? The Jets, Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, is a big Trump supporter. As you know, if you listen to my podcast, I had to throw away all my Jet paraphernalia because Mike Pence was sitting in the owner's box. I used to be a Jet fan. I couldn't stomach it anymore. I have a whole trouble with the whole NFL between the protests. Well, not the protests. I support Colin Kaepernick and any NFL player who takes a knee during the anthem. I support their right to do that. I support what the reason they're doing it. But the backlash turned me off to that. Then there's the violence in the NFL off the field that seems to be allowed with a wink and a nod, and that turned me off to it. I watched some playoffs. I got to say, I'm happy Philly beat New England. You know, I'm a fan of anyone but New England, which is going to carry on in this story. But anyway, that's it. So now I have a problem with the Jets because the acting CEO of the Jets, Woody Johnson's brother, said that he's going to pay any fines. He says, and let me get his name because I don't want to screw his name up. Christopher Johnson says that any players that get fined, the team's going to pay. So that's a good thing. So now I'm torn. I honestly don't know. I don't know if I'm going to support the NFL next season. I don't know if I'm going to support the Jets next season. But good on you. Good on you, Mr. Johnson, for being a better man than your brother, for being a better man than the owners in the NFL. And this was not unanimous by the owners in the NFL. This was Roger Goodell kissing ass to Donald Trump and some powerful owners sucking up to Donald Trump because they're billionaires and got incredible tax benefits from Donald Trump administration. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, again, not my favorite team, but one of the most woke teams in sports. You know, I'd say Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich, coach of the Spurs, are the two guys who speak up. And he says this NFL policy is idiotic and that the players are not anti-patriotic. This is Steve Kerr saying players are not anti-patriotic. The players are doing their First Amendment right. They're speaking up on issues they believe in, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, the NBA has the same policy. Yes, 20 years ago, Ahmar Roif, an NBA player who was Muslim, got hassled for not supporting the national anthem in the NBA 20 years ago. It did happen. But right now, Steve Kerr is on point in what he says. So there's that. So I don't know. I don't know where I am with this NFL thing, but that's what's going on. The NFL is definitely wrong. When I say I don't know where I'm at, I don't know if I'm going to be watching. So I'm going to move on from that because there's a couple of other stories that I want to get into about people being woke and people being right and people being wrong. You remember Rachel Dolezal, right? Rachel Dolezal is a white woman who dreams of being a black woman, and she changed her name, Nkechi Diallo. And anyway, so I'm laughing because it's stupid and ridiculous. But anyway, she is in trouble for welfare fraud. She collected $8,000 in food assistance and another $100 in child assistance. And apparently she had been depositing money in her bank account in the period of August 2017 to September 2017. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Anyway, August 2015 to September 2017. So from 15 to 17, She deposited $84,000 into her bank account, just forgot to mention it. Why? Well, a lot of it came from sales of her book, which means even she couldn't believe anyone bought her book. She couldn't be like, well, no one bought the book. What? I made money? Forgot to tell you. What the hell is she doing collecting food stamps, welfare, or anything else? When you're on TV all the time, you're talking, you had to be getting paid, Rachel. Rachel, they knew you were getting paid. They were watching you on TV. Listen, I'm on TV occasionally. I'm not rich, but I ain't collecting food stamps. I do all right. If you're on TV, if you have that kind of publicity, the publicity and notoriety that this woman had, and you wrote a book, there are going to be enough people buying that book, even just out of curiosity, even to burn it. People are going to buy that book. And you can't tell the government, I ain't got no money. I ain't make no money. You're selling books. I sell merch. It is all promotional merch. I don't make any money. Did I say that on a podcast? What the hell is wrong with me? But actually, I do pay taxes on it. And I certainly don't collect any government assistance. I have a business manager who's very up on taxes, and she makes me pay them. I wish I was one of those guys who could owe millions in taxes, because that would mean I made millions more. But I'm not. But Rachel or Nikichi or whatever the hell your name is, you blew it. Now, on the other side of the coin, okay, I'm going to close this podcast up. I'm rambling. I'm going to wrap it up. But I'm going to wrap it up with two incredibly positive stories that make me very happy, story, dare I say, provide hope. One is just for fun. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, Las Vegas hockey team, is going into the Stanley Cup Finals. My boy Ryan Reeves plays for the team. I'm super pulling for them. I would love to have a friend who won the Stanley Cup. I'm pulling for you, Ryan. I'm pulling for the team. And it's a great story. It's an expansion team going to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's truly a great story for people who bet on them at the beginning of the season when they were 500-1. And there's over a dozen people out there who stand to win a lot of money. But I wish this team the best. It's a great story. I'm not a hockey fan, but I am a fan of this team and this story. It's fantastic. It's good. Okay, sports can be good. This is good, and I'm enjoying it. The other thing I'm happy about, proud of, it's fantastic, Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams won the primary in Georgia. She is the first African-American woman. She could be the first African-American woman governor. She's up. She's in the finals. She's in the finals. How's that for sports? She's in the general election. She's the Democratic nominee for governor for the state of Georgia, and she has a chance to win. She has a good chance to win. She's obviously being supported by national Democrats. I hope the progressives get on board. Yeah, I'm talking to you, TYT people. Get on board. Support this woman. I think this is going to be one of those elections where you have the people of Atlanta, the city people in Georgia, versus the rural people in Georgia. Hate to say it. I know it's not that cut and dry, but it basically is. On the right, they have the craziest candidates, a bunch of gun nuts and anti-immigration people and blah, blah, blah. So I'm happy for this woman. I'm happy for Stacey Abrams. I was on the Young Turks Tuesday during the primaries, and the Jenk and John were surprised about this, her being the first African-American woman to be up for governor. And this is the shame of the United States, that there's still first black this and first black that. But Stacey Abrams is a dynamite candidate. She is a candidate of the people. Now, she's an underdog because it's Georgia, but she has a shot. And I'm just happy for that. Rachel Dolezal, pay attention. Stacey Abrams, that is a black woman. Okay? You are not. She is. That's it. That's all I got. Episode 217. I am about to go to Israel. I'm going to be in Israel for the next 8 days. Comedy for Kobe. It's on my Facebook page at Alonzo Bowden. It's going to be a charity tour. My friend Avi Lieberman put it together. I'm going to be working with Jessica Kearson, who I love. And forgive me for forgetting the other comic's name at the moment. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to go to Israel. It's pro-Trump, so that should be interesting for me. But I look forward to it. I haven't been to Israel. It's probably been almost 20 years. I had a fantastic time when I was there in the past. I have no doubt I'll have a fantastic time again. I thank you for listening. I thank you for paying attention. I will work on my microphone issues. You're the best. Keep laughing. Thank you.